Howdy, what's going on? Thanks so much for listening to the podcast. It is heard live every day, by the way, from noon until 3 on WBT Radio in Charlotte. And if you want exclusive content, invitations to events, the weekly live stream, my daily show prep with links, become a patron. Go to thepetecallinershow.com. This podcast is also supported by North Carolina businesses, so please consider supporting them. Try not to skip through their short ad. Make sure you hit the subscribe button to get every episode for free right to your smartphone or tablet. And thanks so much for your support. Pete Callender here, News Talk 1110 99.3, WBT 704-570-1110, 1-800-WBT-1110. Just want to go on the record and say that half of you Americans are awful. Hey, remember when I called half of you guys awful? All right, we need to come together now. All right? But you guys are just terrible human beings. I think you're just like a bunch of sexist Nazis. Hey, remember that time I called you sexist Nazis? No, it's fine. We need to get together now and be on the same page for America. And I will continue to stop you together in unified fashion. So that's my recap of the State of the Union speech last night. That it was one of the, I've watched a lot of, would they be States of the Union? State of the Union's addresses? I've watched a lot of these speeches over the years. And I have never seen a speech like this delivered at a State of the Union setting. I have seen many speeches like this delivered at political conventions, stump speeches, rallies, and the like, because that's the kind of speech this was. This was a campaign speech that Joe Biden delivered last night. And that should make you ask the question, why? Why would he deliver this? Why would he do this speech this way? Why did this speech have 80 exclamation points in it, in the script, and the last one had none, right? Why is he and his script writers, why are they hitting all of these exclamation points, putting them all into the sentences and stuff, trying to get everybody all excited, right? Why? There's a reason, right? So here's the answer to the question of why he's doing a campaign speech is that he hasn't shored up his left flank. That's the reason. So to explore this idea, you got to know a couple things, right? And you've probably heard this: when you run for an election, you spend your primary, shoring up, solidifying your base. You have to make sure that the people that are in your party are on your side. They believe in you and they're going to show up in November for you. And the way you do that, and everybody knows this, is that you sort of run to the right. If you're in the Republican Party primaries, right, you run to the right in the primary and then you tack towards the center in the general. And the inverse is true for the Democrats. You run to the left in your primaries and then you also run to the left in the general. I'm just kidding. You tack back towards the center. This was what I mentioned this the other night when we were, or the other day after the primary, where Josh Stein got up there and in his victory speech, he's the now nominee for governor for the Democrats, and some of his phrasing in his victory speech sounded like it could have been Ronald Reagan. And for that matter, Barack Obama, at the end of the first campaign for president, remember, he came to Charlotte. He was up at UNC and his grandmother had just died. Remember, that speech he gave sounded Reagan-esque. I said it at the time. I was sitting in this very chair. But I was sitting right here at the time because I was doing a 9 to midnight show and he had come to UNC and it was dark and I think it was raining, but it was nighttime. And it was like one of the last stops that he did before election day. And he had just been told his grandmother had passed away. And this is where he talked about, there are no red states, no blue states, only purple states, whatever. And he had this unifying message. And if you didn't know anything about this guy and you were like, tomorrow's the election, I don't know who to vote for. Oh, hey, Obama's in town. Let me take a listen. And you hear this speech, and that is a unifying, we're all in this together, we can be great speech. He wasn't talking about the fundamental transformation of America, right? Which, always made me wonder, why are you trying to fundamentally transform something that you love? unless, of course, you don't love it. Which, that was another thing Biden said last night, was that you can't love your country only when you win. And I'm not sure, did anybody go and check in with Michelle Obama on that? I'm curious. She was not there last night, so I don't know. But you run to your base, you solidify the base in the primary, and then you tack back towards the center in a general. But Joe Biden, I think I saw this mentioned someplace, that he's got his, right, if you were to take his approval number and double it, that is still not a higher number than his age. That's how bad, that's how bad his approval numbers are, and that's how old he is, okay? So that's a problem for him. He has record low approval numbers, and you don't get record low approval numbers just from Republicans not liking you. There is a very large portion of his voter base that doesn't like him. His base is not solid. So he's got to make sure he wins them back. Part of the problem has been that he doesn't have to campaign in all of these primary states because he has no challenger. Right? So he's not running any kind of campaign. He doesn't have rallies, right? He's not doing a lot. He's also, 100 years old, so he probably can't keep up that kind of a pace. Maybe he should do some more COVID-type campaigning like he did from his basement in 2020. I don't know. But he's got to shore up the base. He's got to solidify these voters, and that's who that speech was for. It was for his base. It was for the people that are of a similar mind that are out front of the Capitol blocking the road. That's why he was late, because the pro-Palestinian, pro-Hamas people, they were out there blocking the roads, ceasefire now and all of that, so he couldn't get to the Capitol. By the way, that is not, as far as I know, that is not obstructing an official proceeding. Right? That's not insurrection-y. It's not, that's totally fine. You can do all of that. Because it's different when Democrats do it. So anyway, so they had to take the long way around. That's why he was late. And then he took like 20 minutes meandering his way through the congressional or the on the House floor, walking through, saying hello to everybody. And then, after the speech was over, by the way, he took like half an hour. They turned the lights out and he was asking like, where am I supposed to go? Like, where's the exit here? Which, to the Democrats and the media, but I repeat myself, they said that was proof that, he has stamina. I mean, look at him. He shut the place down. I look at it as dude doesn't know where he's going. Like, yeah, he's like, he's in a room and they're turning all the lights out and he doesn't know where the exits are. if you were a Democrat, if you are a partisan, if you are a leftist, you loved this speech. If you're a reporter, your media, legacy media people, they loved this speech. They thought it was fantastic because it's a campaign speech. That's what they wanted. They needed this from him, right? That speech last night is what they love. They love Joe Biden yelling at people. That's what they love. And look, that's what people love about Donald Trump too. He fights, right? He yelled at people also at his campaign rallies. Lock her up, right? At the campaign rallies, getting the crowd whipped up and all that, that's what the crowd wants. That's a campaign rally speech. This speech last night was not meant to win over moderates. It was not meant to win over undecideds. It's not meant to attract anti-Trumpers on the right, right? If you've been trying to convince me that Joe Biden is not some norm-busting, divisive jerk, your efforts were completely undone last night by watching that speech. So what is the State of the Union? I thought the Spectator publication had it perfect. The State of the Union is angry. That's what that speech was. The state of this union right now is angry. I'm sure we'll be fine. All right, so maybe you've heard by now, DraftKings Sportsbook is coming to North Carolina, right? Less than a week away. On March 11th, sportsbooks are legal in the Tar Heel State. DraftKings is one of America's top-rated sportsbooks with same-game parlays, money lines, and props. The best features like odds boost and live betting and social betting groups where you can share your bets with friends in real time. That's pretty cool. DraftKings is safe, it's secure, it's reliable, and best of all, you can deposit and withdraw your cash whenever you want. And it all starts on March 11th. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app, do it now, and then you get to place your bets on your favorite sports once it goes live. Remember to use my name, Pete, as a promo code. That is P-E-T-E. And again, it goes live on March 11th. And now to do the disclaimer. Gambling problem? Call 877-718-5543 or visit morethanagame.nc.gov. 21 plus, North Carolina only. Eligibility restrictions apply, subject to regulatory licensing requirements. See terms at DraftKings.com/sportsbook/NC. The State of the Union is what? What do you think? 704-570-1110 if you've got an answer for this. The State of the Union is... I'm with thespectator.org. The State of the Union is angry. Everybody's just angry. Oh, by the way, breaking news. North Carolina GOP Chairman Michael Whatley wins the chairman of the RNC by unanimous vote. Lara Trump, Trump's daughter-in-law, is elected unanimously as co-chair of the Republican National Committee. So there's that. Okay. I will say that as a limited government, lowercase l libertarian, conservative, conservatarian, I think I'm just going to go ahead and adopt the conservatarian label. It's a little bit easier than the lowercase l libertarian. Anyway, so yeah, conservatarian. But as one who, like, my biggest issue is limiting government, particularly the executive branch, right? I don't want presidents acting as kings. I don't. So when I get, you know, when I sit there and I watch these State of the Union addresses and the president's up there talking about, I did this and I did that and I did this other thing and I'm going to make this other thing happen, I reject, like, all of that. You don't do these things. The legislature should be doing this stuff. I do not want a king. But a lot of other people do. It's really easy, especially if your guy wins. A lot of people like their guy to rule over everybody else once they get their guy in there, and then they're very angry when the other guy's in there doing stuff they don't like. But I say all of that just to say I am well acquainted with politicians not speaking to me to get my vote, okay? I am well acquainted with this. I can help guide you. Right? If you were watching Joe Biden's speech last night and you're a Democrat or media, but I repeat myself, then he was speaking to you. You loved it. Okay. If you are not a Democrat, if you are not of the left, then he was not speaking to you. Right. He was attacking you. He does not need your vote right now. He needs to make sure that he has solidified his left flank. That's what that was about, right? That's what that was about. I did watch last night, not only because I am a giver, and I watched it so you didn't have to, but I also was interested to know whether he was going to fall up any stairs and whether or not he was going to make it through the speech, which he is being celebrated today for having not fallen asleep or passed out during the speech, not done any shout outs to dead people. He was pretty slurry, and he virtually every single sentence included some either under enunciation or mispronunciation. You'll hear him, and not all of them. I did not create a montage audio clip of all of this, but you'll hear it in the clips that I've pulled. The word today is feisty. The Democrats and media, but I repeat myself, they loved his speech. They thought it was, quote, feisty and fiery because they love taking it to the GOP. They love yelling at the Republicans quote, truth to power, right? Calling them names, questioning their motives, ascribing nefarious motives to them, right? Misrepresenting their positions. They thought it was fantastic. Now, they hate it when Trump does it to them, right? And they say that that shouldn't happen. Decorum this, norms that, whatever. But when it's their guy doing it, totally fine, because it's different when Democrats do it. Ed Morrissey at hotair.com wrote a piece titled "Media Falls in Love All Over Again with Feisty, Fiery Biden." He said the mainstream media had already written their comeback story around a feisty narrative, and only a literal faceplant by Joe Biden would keep them from rolling it out. The media wants to sell the same tired product, pushing the same tired demagoguery as new and improved Joe with 30% more added vitamins, right? This was the story that they wanted to tell, and as long as he didn't, you know, fall up the stairs or say hello to any dead people, this was the story they were going to run with. And look, he came across as loud, partisan, angry, slurry, struggling with enunciation. And they were like, it shows he's fiery. I would point out, yelling is not proof of coherence, nor is it proof of mental acuity. Although I do want to give a shout out to whoever it is that mixes the president's cocktail of drugs that keep him alert. Because I think they may have actually dialed it up a little too much. They went up to 11 out of 10, I think. Just a smidge. Because he was talking really, really fast. And like he was all up on ADD bills or something. He was really fast. And that didn't help with his enunciation. All right, let's go to the phones here. This is Mike. Welcome to the program. Hello, Mike.
Hello, Pete. Good Friday afternoon to you, sir.
And to you, sir. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm doing well. Picking up on what you just said, no, the ADD pills are what was doled out without reservation in the last administration. That's what they had in the last administration in terms of all the ADD pills. But I digress.
Well, no, I have no problem believing, Mike, that every single White House does this. I've said this for years. There is no way these guys keep the schedules they keep and not have the mental clarity. Because, like, you get on a plane, you do a bunch of campaign events, you do some ribbon cuttings, whatever, some speeches, you jump on a plane, you head over to Europe, and then you're getting off the plane, you got to meet with, like, these world leaders, and you can't be messing up. You got to be on your A game all the time. And I've long believed that every president gets, like, even if it's, like, the saline vitamin solutions and stuff like that, you know, they got to be getting something to keep them on these schedules that I don't think regular people would be able to keep up with for 4 years or 8 years.
Well, a good rest and good exercise and a good diet will contribute to that, which I don't think were the hallmarks of our last president, but nonetheless, you use the term.
You realize he's not okay.
Earlier in your lead in. You use the term. I loved it. Tired demagoguery, I think is how you put it, with that hotair.com piece.
That is what he said. The same tired product, pushing the same tired demagoguery.
And for me, Pete, that is a wonderful description
of Donald Trump. Of Donald Trump? Is it a description of Donald Trump?
No, it's a wonderful description of the narrative that you've been telling, and Brett's been telling, and Venture's been telling about the mental acuity or lack thereof of our president. It's over and over and over again. And so I was going to ask you just last night. I mean, you know, I'm a lawyer. I've tried a bunch of cases. One thing that I've learned through the years is that jurors can look at the same bit of evidence and see something totally different depending on the jury.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm asking you, seeing the same speech that I saw last night,
mm-hmm.
was that a dithering old man? Is that somebody who's demented, somebody who can't engage? As you said, you're joking, oh, he didn't fall up the stairs, et
yeah.
cetera.
Right, he didn't.
You know, so my question is to you, a lot of people tuned into that State of the Union that don't pay a bunch of attention to politics, but what they do is they hear this narrative, this tired demagoguery of him being just old and dithering,
mm-hmm.
and I'm wondering if they came away thinking that.
Right.
Did you come away thinking that?
Well, so, Mike, you and I are not the people to answer that question. Because you believe that people would come away, if people don't watch any politics whatsoever, but they tune in to watch that speech, They would have seen him walking through the crowd, saying hi to everybody and all of that, taking half an hour to get up there, whatever. You, and to you, that's proof of the thing you already believe, that none of the accusations that he's 80 plus years old, he's lost a step, he's not in mental decline. You don't believe any of that. And so you would see everything in that speech last night as proof that you are correct. And so you would project upon this blank slate citizen who has no idea about anything. And all they've heard is that he's, 80 something years old and in mental decline. And they're going to see that and they're going to come to your opinion. They're going to agree with you. Right. That's what you believe to be the case. I watched Joe Biden, and what I saw was him walking through the crowd, taking way too long to get down there, forgetting to let Mike Johnson introduce him, but whatever. So he comes down. But I also see, as one who has experience in my own personal life dealing with people who get to be very, very old, and to watch them decline mentally, then I see some of the same things. So you ask me, and I'm telling you, I see some of the same things. So when I see him get up on the stage and he starts delivering that speech, and he's running his mouth like he's doing, he's tripping over some of the words, he's slurring. And I understand, like, he's 80-something years old. You lose the ability to enunciate. I get all of that. That does not rebut anything that I have said. And so what I would then project upon this blank citizen is that if they have any expertise or experience dealing with the elderly, they would see the same thing that I see too.
Well, my it's interesting. I've experienced it as well with my mother.
Mm-hmm.
Frankly, it was interesting when such a big deal was made. You made a huge deal of it about the thing about his not being able to remember when his son died.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and you made a huge deal. My mom passed away, but I couldn't tell you the year.
Mm-hmm.
I have to sort of add it up because she was almost 83. I have to add it to her birth year in order to figure that out.
Do you think it's different to know when your child died?
In terms of the precise year, perhaps, yeah.
That's what he said. So I'm just asking if you agree with him.
Well, the question is the evidence of, yeah, he's 81 years old. He's
yeah.
old. But there's no evidence from the people, even Kevin McCarthy behind closed doors, are saying he's there, he's with it.
Kevin McCarthy said he reads from note cards.
From Matt Gaetz from the floor of the House says it's hard for Republicans to keep making this argument when Joe Biden consistently steals their lunch money during negotiations, which he does. And look what all he's done. So the question is...
So Matt Gaetz is the guy you're relying on there.
It comes down to this choice that we have, okay, that we're looking at now. Now, today... No labels may come up with something, we don't know. But as it looks at right now, we've got the choice between two old men.
Mm-hmm.
And the choice becomes one who is frankly pretty physically fit, pretty slim and trim, occasionally will misstate a word, et cetera.
Occasionally.
And another old man who's anything but physically fit, who consistently, if you watch his speeches, wanders off into Never Never Land and mistakes Nancy Pelosi for Nikki Haley, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
I'm not saying this.
I find this to be hilarious. This is absolutely this is hilarious to me. You're going to try to make an argument to me like the one who has been taking slings from Trump supporters for 8 freaking years. You're going to try to tell me that the choice is between two old people and they're basically one's better than the other. They're both old. They both mess up all the time in their speeches. What is your point then, Mike? What's your point? Is that your old guy slurs a little bit less than the other old guy?
If you would take a breath and let me make the point, I will do it.
Nope. You're done. You've had about 10 minutes to make your point, Mike. You had about 10 minutes to do it. And all you do is shift goalposts and make new arguments when I ask you direct questions. Have a great weekend. All right. Do the current world events have you wondering whether we are teetering on the edge of catastrophe? Are you concerned it's going to reach our shores? Okay. So what are you doing about your concerns? Let me help. Carolina Readiness Supply.
at CarolinaReadiness.com. Whether you're looking to expand your emergency preparedness supplies or you have no idea where to even begin, Carolina Readiness Supply can help you. Food, water purifiers, tools, first aid kits, instructional materials, camping and hiking supplies even, because being prepared is just smart. Carolina Readiness Supply has 2,000 square feet of supplies and educational materials that you'll need for any kind of emergency. In Waynesville, and always at CarolinaReadiness.com, veteran-owned Carolina Readiness Supply. Will you be ready when the lights go out?
No, it's a question from App Patriot Girl, who applauds my patience and doesn't know how I speak to people. Like Mike, and not lose it completely. No, because once you realize what it is, and it's what Mike was doing was gaslighting me, that trying to tell me not to believe my own eyes and what I've seen of Joe Biden for the last 25 years, that he's not diminished, but he kind of is, but not in the way you're saying, and not as bad as you're saying, right? There's a grudging admission that, of course, he's 80-something years old, but that's no way. And then, what about Trump? Right, that's Trump's worse. Trump's fat. Right, Trump. I used to talk about Trump's flight of ideas all the time. That's what it's called, the flight of ideas. He'll start talking about something, and then he goes off somewhere else, and somewhere else, and he just keeps this flight of ideas, and just yeah, it's super annoying. He's been doing it for years. I don't like it. He's not the president anymore, but he wants to be the president again, right? So does Joe Biden. So if you're gonna tell me that my pick is, right, between I got one 80-something-year-old versus another 80-something-year-old, and they're both messing up with names, they're both messing up with memory, they're okay. So where's the affirmative case for Joe? And this is my problem. This is with both of these guys and the people that promote both of these people, right? This is my problem with them, is that everything is about the other guy. It's just super annoying. Anyway, here's from the Wall Street Journal. The Joe Biden who showed up Thursday for the State of the Union promised four more years of rancor every bit as much as Donald Trump. Right. They are that which they accuse Trump of. It's always been the most hilarious thing about the worst Trump critics that I have noticed is that they do the exact thing that they accused Trump of doing. What did Joe Biden do at that speech last night? I've got the audio. We're going to go through the audio. And, I mean, he heckles Republicans from the lectern, right? Engages in this call and response campaign rally speech tactic with the Democrats. What do you think about that? No, and all this stuff. He turned it into a campaign. It was a Wellstone Memorial vibe. And like I said at the beginning, if you're a Democrat, and Mike Daisley is a Democrat, he loved it. And I recognize that because it's a campaign speech. That's what that was. Let me go over and get, who's this? John. Hello, John. Welcome to the show.
Good Friday to you, Pete.
Yes, sir. How are you?
Great. Hey, here's the thing. Yes, Joe Biden was able to make it through that speech last night. But that raises two questions to me. One, how long of a nap did he take during the day so he could stay up past 9 o'clock? Because every day you see they cut everything off around, you know, noon or yeah. One, and he's done for the day.
Yeah.
So, yeah, okay, he made it through one speech. I want to see him do three events in one day, spread throughout the day, maybe in multiple states, and see how mentally able he is at the end of the night. He'd be babbling like a fool.
So here's the thing. He is 81 years old. And again, I don't begrudge the guy for being that old, right? And I recognize that it's going to put a limit on what he can do and how he can perform. I totally get that. And John, I appreciate the call. It's a fair point to say, you know, what can he do? What are sort of the limits of his abilities? Because they're not telling us. The White House isn't telling us. Supporters like Mike, they don't acknowledge that there's really any limitations, right? It's all, oh, no, it's just perfectly fine. And we all know it's not. We all know it's not. But as long as you're saying that he's got all this energy and we're all good to go, I guess there isn't any excuse against holding a debate then, right? Got to have debates then. Sure. This is from Dean, who says, The State of the Union is a train wreck. The reason for Joe Biden running is to get Kamala Harris in. If they win the presidency, Joe will be pulled out and Kamala will take over. It has to be done this way because Kamala would never win on her own. We'll be in serious trouble if that takes place. That's a fair prediction. John says the Republican Party chairman, North Carolina, Michael Whatley, just been elected the new chairman of the RNC. Joseph wants to know, how did Mike ever try a case in front of a jury with arguments like that? there are a number of different sayings in the legal community about how to win cases and argue cases when you have facts versus not having facts and that sort of thing. I think people who love Biden, they got what they wanted last night. People who don't love Biden didn't see anything special.
All right, that'll do it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening. I could not do the show without your support and the support of the businesses that advertise on the podcast. So if you'd like, please support them too and tell them you heard it here. You can also become a patron at my Patreon page or go to thepetecallinershow.com. Again, thank you so much for listening, and don't break anything while I'm gone.